Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As you may know, we take mental health and wellness very seriously on our podcast. We've done several episodes that focus on nanny mental health and self-care.
Exactly. That's why we are beyond excited to now be sponsored by BetterHelp. We are strong supporters of the benefits of therapy. BetterHelp is such an amazing online source.
With BetterHelp, you can be matched with a licensed counselor from BetterHelp's network of over 20,000 professionals. You can meet online and communicate through their secure messaging system.
It is so important to find a therapist that is compatible with you, so you can always switch therapists if you wish. Therapy is an amazing tool in treating mental health. We are such fans of what BetterHelp can offer our listeners.
That's right. We are able to offer you an amazing introductory deal with our code SHENANIGANS and receive 10% off your first month.
We are so happy our listeners can access these amazing services through BetterHelp. Please take the time to visit the site and discover how BetterHelp can better your life.
Yes, and that code again is SHENANIGANS for 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/SHENANIGANS. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring our podcast. Most workdays, we wear leggings and a messy bun, so we don't always feel like professionals.
But we are. We spend our days shaping young minds and providing a very valuable service to our nanny families.
It's time we nannies had a tool to feel more professional. Well, it's finally here. The Raise Kids app is a nanny's full toolkit to deliver high-quality childcare.
It features a modern-looking event log, the ability to add photos and videos, and my favorite part, the curated activities, including new themed activities added each week.
Download the app today to explore. Then have your nanny family sign up, create the child's profile, and invite you as a caregiver, and you're off and running.
That's Raise Kids, RAYZKIDZ. And you can find it in the App Store.
Our girl, Shannon Parola, is not only an amazing nanny and mom, but she offers so much to professional nannies and new parents with her services.
Shannon was a guest last season, and we were blown away with her credentials as a special needs nanny and nanny coach.
Shannon offers coaching sessions for special needs nannies, nanny moms, and nannies looking to have a long career in childcare.
She is also offering an awesome, and I mean super helpful, service of creating baby registries for new parents. How cool is that?
Shannon offers a complimentary 30-minute consultation to all clients, nannies and parents alike. You can book with her through her website, thevipparolas.com/nanny-coaching, or thevipparolas.com/childcare/coaching.
If you are a nanny or a parent, we strongly suggest that you check out Shannon Parola. She is a nanny rock star. Don't forget, the first 30-minute consultation is free.
We will have her information in the description of this episode and all of our social media platforms. That is Shannon Parola at thevipparolas.com.
Hello and welcome to a very, very, very special episode of Shenanigans.
Oh my God, podcast crossover alert.
if we did not prove before that we are millennials, we are proving so now with this like mashup.
Yes.
We're recruiting other podcasters. We're like, come on, come be our friends. Be our friends.
I mean, hey, celebrity podcasters do this all the time.
Hell yeah. So, we've reached that level, Tessa.
We are celebrity podcasters now.
Oh my God. We are. I have like a whole entourage.
Yes. It's pretty sweet. I'm digging it. So I'm super excited. The voice that you're hearing that is not me or Marie is Martha from Chronicles of Narnia, which is just like such a great name for a podcast. Are you a big Tolkien? Are you a big Tolkien fan?
I am. Although I have never read the Lord of the Rings books. But the Chronicles of Narnia is...
it's a C.S. Lewis. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
But I am a big C.S. Lewis fan. I read all of those books.
I'm an English major, and I was like Googling. I'm like, who the hell wrote the Chronicles of Narnia? Because I had no freaking clue.
And, well, like they were also really close friends up until, the funniest thing is, like, they were best friends until C.S. Lewis, like, became a Christian. And then Tolkien was like, fuck off. What is wrong with you?
Thank you. Yeah.
But Tolkien was like really, really Catholic, but he hated allegory. So that's why they got like issues. So he's like, you're just being too overt. Like,
I've been to the bar, the pub where they used to like hang out.
Have their Inklings meetings.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I am that nerd.
Wow. No, you guys are nerding out pretty hard right now. Like, we're literally 2 minutes in, and that was some hardcore nerding right there.
I was also an English major.
Oh, so. God damn it. I'm sorry. I am sorry.
I know.
Were you lit or were you writing?
Lit.
Okay, I was writing.
Okay. Well,
but I had to take a lot of lit classes, and that's why I'm like a little ashamed that I didn't know who wrote that. I'm like, God damn it. Where was my spark notes?
And then I never had to read those for a class, though.
See, I didn't have to read those either, authors. But I had to read a lot of Shakespeare. Uh-huh. And thank goodness that Barnes & Noble came out with No Fear Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Because I could understand what the fuck he was saying. Because I don't know. Like, when I had to read Shakespeare in high school, like, I wanted to, like, slam my head through a wall. But
because it's not meant to be read.
No, it's stupid.
It is. It is meant to be seen. That is very true. But I was the biggest nerd ever in high school because I was like, give me all the Shakespeare ever. I want to read all of it. I have two different like full unabridged copies of like all of his works, like because people knew.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know.
I memorized the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet at the age of 12.
Was it because of Leo? Did you want to be because of Leo?
I don't think it was.
Oh, okay.
I think it was that I'm a recovering actress. Mm-hmm. And
that's a really interesting way to put it.
Yeah. I'm a recovering actor, and I as a child was like, well, Shakespeare is the ultimate actor.
It is.
So I was just like, I got to memorize this. And I've played Juliet 3 times.
Well, I mean, if you memorized it, then you should be Juliet. I understand that. Now, don't drink the poison, all right?
Right.
Don't drink that. It's bad news, okay?
Well, Juliet actually stabs herself.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Romeo drinks the poison.
And then Juliet,
which is really interesting because those are swapped of the typical deaths matching the gender.
I mean,
right,
exactly.
He was really good at pushing that envelope, though.
He was
really, really good. He was really forward thinking for the most part. Like, there was still a lot of misogyny in his, but like for the time, he was really forward thinking.
You know what? Way to go, Bill. Way to go.
Right.
Way to go.
Are either of you like Marvel fan? Well, Marie, I don't think you really are like that big of a Marvel fan.
No, I'm just slamming shit on my desk. Sorry.
I have watched almost all of the movies, but I'm not one of the ones that can be like, well, in this movie, this happened, and that then made this happen in a different movie. I'm not that level.
I like Guardians of the Galaxy because Chris Pratt, hubba hubba.
You and I
will never fight over a man, I don't think, Marie. You can keep him.
I love me some Chris Pratt It's a Paul Rudd.
That's oh, I love one. Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
Paul Rudd,
if you don't love Paul puppy. Rudd, you're blind.
Thank
you're
yeah.
blind.
He's, you're blind and you don't have a heart. He's just yeah, a puppy. Gorgeous. He's like he's a gorgeous yeah. puppy dog of a man.
Just that face. I love yeah. yeah.
That never ages.
No.
In Loki, what's his face? Luke Wilson is also in it. And Tom Hiddleston has done like a ton of Shakespeare. And he and Luke Wilson were talking about Luke is the brother.
Owen,
yes, there we go. Owen.
Hansel from Zoolander.
So hot right now.
So yes. hot right now.
So he they were talking about like their prior experience and like doing plays and things, and like they were talking about how like Tom would do Shakespeare, and Tom like looked over and he was like, so have you ever done Shakespeare? And he was like, that is a question that no one up until this point in my life would ever think to have asked me. Like I don't even really know like what Shakespeare is, let alone have acted in one of his plays. That's like amazing. Are you kidding? It was like the biggest compliment and also like the most ridiculous question he had ever been asked in his life.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
That's pretty strong. I know, like that's the thing, is I'm a pre-K teacher now, and like the references to these superheroes,
you need like a Muppets version of Shakespeare.
I mean, like that's the problem. I'm like, shit, I don't know any of these freaking superheroes. I gotta like really study up. And then there's like this DC versus Marvel. It's like I can't understand it.
Oh, I do.
I know you do. Like, you're queen of the nerds.
Yes.
You really are. Like, my God. And then there's me, who I just want to watch, like, Simpsons reruns. And, like I just don't care.
Simpsons and South Park.
I was, like, quoting old school, like, or not old school. I was quoting Step Brothers at, like, the parent-teacher conference. Because, like, we have, like, this really big room for our kids. And the dads were like, wow, this room is so great. And I was like, yeah, we have so much room for activities. And I just went, yeah, brothers. So I like won over all the dads with that.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, that sounds great. So I'm like, we got room for activities, guys. Don't worry. Shit's going to go.
That's down. Awesome.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Lots of room. Very lots important.
Room. Bunk beds. But yeah, so... Oh, Martha. Okay, so again, you started the Chronicles of Narnia. What actually got you started to do your podcast?
Yeah, so I started my podcast like 5 years ago. I had been posting like activities and things that I was doing on Instagram, and kind of like stumbled onto the hashtag Chronicles of Narnia. I created it, but like I would start hashtagging like posts that I did about my nanny day as that. And then mm-hmm. a few different friends who had their own children at that point were like, oh my gosh, I would like read the heck out of a blog. Like, mm-hmm. you should make a blog of all these activities you're doing. Because they're like, I steal your ideas all the time. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. But I know myself. And I am not going to sit down and write a blog on a computer.
I respect you for that.
I was like, there's no way I'll keep up with that. And but I was super into podcasts from, you know, years and years ago. And so... And I was actually engaged to someone at the time. We were no longer together. But at the time, I was engaged to a comedian. And every comedian has their own podcast. So he mm-hmm. had gotten all of the equipment. And so he, like, set me up with all of his equipment. And then when we were no longer engaged, I got my own versions mm-hmm. of the equipment. And continue to do my podcast. And so, yeah, I also, as I was becoming a recovering actor, I needed a creative outlet. And this was such a good opportunity for me to like just sit and talk with people about something that I feel really passionate about, which is nannying and childcare. And it also was such a good opportunity for me to learn. Like, I have learned so much doing my podcast mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a much better nanny for having hosted the podcast.
I have to agree. Because, I mean, I don't know if you know our backstory, but Tessa harassed me.
I stalked her. I was mm-hmm. determined.
Sometimes you gotta.
Yeah. Like, yeah. She made a beeline for me. And yeah.
I fell in love and I couldn't deny it.
But it's very funny because your story sounds very organic. Like how you became a podcaster. And like, yeah. I mean, Tessa was on a freaking mission. She was like,
I was like, how can I ensnare this woman and like entrap her into being my friend?
Yes.
Because that's like the only way that adults can make friends, I guess, now is to like
start a podcast together.
Yeah, you have to start a podcast.
Yeah. Well, and like trap them in some way.
Right, right, right.
It's true. So- I felt like I didn't have anywhere I could go. No, I'm just kidding. But now I have to ask because the whole backstory with comedian, and you are in Chicago, correct?
Yes.
So I feel like I hear a lot about the improv, like Second City mm-hmm. and things like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Chicago's fantastic.
Have you ever been to Second City? Because Chris Farley is like maybe one, if not my favorite comedic actor like ever.
Mm-hmm.
Have you actually seen the stage that like he performed on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've performed on that stage.
Shut your freaking mouth! What?
Yeah, I did the whole Second City run. They took so much money from me, and I auditioned and made it into. I auditioned and made it into conservatory at Second City, which you have to audition to have the honor of paying them even more money. And I made it in, but I couldn't do it because I was in a professional show that conflicted with it. And so I chose the professional show that I was already in, that I was getting paid to do versus paying them more money.
I understand the incentive of a paycheck. I get that. I get that.
But I guess I don't know if like the boards are the same because there was a fire at Second City a while back. So they have rebuilt. So I don't know that I'm like literally strutting the same stage that he was on.
Did they have like any memorabilia or anything from the people that
they've got so many pictures and like handprints.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, it's cool. If you're ever in Chicago, one, hit me up. Two, I can get you actually. I have a really dear friend who is in one of the professional shows that she's now getting paid to be at Second City.
Good for them.
So we can go.
That's like so cool because I have always dreamed of that. I have like, I don't know. I just, because so many SNL greats have come off mm-hmm. that stage.
Well, Stephen Colbert as well. Like I there's nothing that I don't love about that man.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, Marie, I think that should be our first road trip once it's safe.
Dude, that is just like so cool to me. And like, I know too, my like hero who I aspire to be when I grow up is Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
And he did so some smart stuff in Chicago too. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm like, everybody's so funny in Chicago.
I've been watching all of his like his stuff that he did on TBS after he finished with what was it like CBS or I don't remember which.
Oh,
one
you mean
was
his
on.
Traveling one?
Yeah, his traveling.
That's what
one,
I was he, like, just watching it.
Yeah, he like his producer, like
Jordan Schlansky.
Yeah,
yeah, he's such a douche. He's well,
I think he's just on the spectrum.
Well, he's always been like in his sketches. Even when he was on NBC, he would show up in his sketches. Mm-hmm. But like, oh my god, he's like the epitome of a douche on the Italy trip.
I just watched the episode where he bought his assistant her like $100 car.
Yeah,
which was horrible. But
that's awesome. So you went to school for literature because mm-hmm. you have brain smarts. I like faked it until I made it. Like I don't I don't know. I feel like there's a difference between an English lit major and an English writing major.
Yeah, one is just like analyzing what other people have written, and the other is creating their own. Mm-hmm. You were creating your own.
Creating,
that's awesome.
And
that takes a lot of brain power.
I don't mean to like toot my own horn, but beep beep, because I took an advanced Shakespeare class. Yes, I'm that smart. No, I'm just kidding. And I took Richard the Third, and I turned it into a South Park spec script.
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
Cartman ran Marie, I need to see this. Guys.
Yeah, I would like to read that.
And we need to like upload it to a Google Doc and share it with the world.
It's called a masterpiece is what it is, guys.
Yeah, I believe it.
But right, yeah,
Matt
that's
Stone and Trey Parker. Do they have kids with and nannies?
I don't know.
They don't talk about it if they do.
Yeah, they're very secretive. They're very secretive. So it's okay. But here's the deal. Cartman ran for student council. So he was my Richard the Third.
Nice. Yep. No, that's perfect.
And I had all Wendy, like I based it on the 2008 presidential election.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. It was
amazing. It was that beautiful. Sounds really good.
But nice. But yeah, that's my professor was like, just run with it. Just do you. I was like, thank you, man.
I need to see this.
Dr. Bright, thank you. Thank you, buddy. You saw something special in me, buddy.
Yes. Love it.
But so when did you start nannying? After so like you were acting, you had studied literature, you know, where does the nannying come in? Was it like while you were in school? Was it just to make some extra cash? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, so I grew up and went to college in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated and I was like, I must get out of Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a lovely place. It's a really cool city. It's not that Knoxville is bad. It's that I just needed to live in a different city than
my parents.
Did
you drink a lot of bourbon?
I don't like bourbon.
What?
I know. What? I'm a tequila girl myself. But and so then
tequila and I are not friends.
Yeah. Well, I've been pretty careful to make sure that I have never had that night that a lot of people talk about with tequila.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just forget. Like,
I'm not going to make the mistake of having a regretful night. Although I guess I have had one regretful night on tequila, but I still drink it. anywho, so I decided to move to Chicago to pursue acting because it's what I wanted to do. And so, and this was after actually I finished my grad degree in secondary English education. So I had taught high school for a year and then I was like, I have to get out. And so I moved up here and I was in search of literally any job, you know, like you do when you move to a big city or any new place, but really a big city. And a family friend was looking for someone to take notes at a business dinner. And so I was like, me, I will do this for money. Please pick me. And she said, yeah, come on. And so as we were like sitting down to dinner, I was like, oh, does any of this have tree nuts in it? And she was like, oh my gosh, you're allergic to nuts. She was like, my kids are too. She's like, do you babysit? And I was like, yeah, I absolutely babysit. And then I ended up becoming her nanny. She did freelance work and so, or like contractor work. And so she would have like really busy seasons and then less busy seasons. So during the busy seasons, I was like a nanny and consistently there. And then I fell in love with nannying. And so she started recommending me to friends when she was in her less busy seasons. So when I started, I was like a quilt nanny, like a patchwork nanny just covering a bunch of different families' needs. And then I got tired of that. And so I went to full-time with one family. And then from there, word of mouth has mostly carried me through to different families
that's
as
awesome.
Kids have outgrown me. Yeah.
No, that's great because, I mean, so many times – We've joked, but so many of us have literally fallen into being a nanny.
Yes.
Like, we've met maybe a handful of people that are like, we chose to be a nanny. This is what we always wanted to be. And I'm like, I wanted to write for Conan O'Brien and that fell down the shitter. So now
I feel like I've only ever met like one person and she was a Norlin nanny. Like that was, okay. And that's it.
Okay.
Like she, you know, that was, and she's not a nanny anymore.
I know.
That's so funny.
That's what's so weird is that, like, I know for me, like, I graduated during the freaking 2007, 2008 writer's strike. So I wasn't getting a job.
Right.
And then, you know, the freaking economy tanked.
Yeah.
And so if you could get a job, you held onto it with like white knuckles. You're like, right. Oh my God. So, you know, that's kind of how I fell into it. And, you know, it is what it is, but it is fairly, it's very funny how many nannies start out by, well, I was gonna do this.
Yeah.
And then I'm this curious. Yeah. I'm curious though, if as I think the profession of nannying becomes more recognized as a profession, because it is, we all know that. We're listening to these podcasts. I wonder if it will become more people's intended career.
I think so.
Yeah, I think a lot of the barrier to that being people's dream is that they don't know as children. Like, it's not talked about. Like, they don't. And really, like, representation matters. And a lot of the representation of being a nanny is, like, bad, you know? Like,
there's a stigma. There is still a stigma. Regardless if we can say, yes, National Nanny Recognition Week, or, mm-hmm. you know, be nice to your nannies, or pay your nannies the right way, or, you know, what have you. I think so much of what happens is that I didn't have a respect for it even while I was doing it, because if you don't work for the right employer,
right,
you don't feel like you're anything until you find your unicorn family. Then you can be like, oh, wow, I am making a difference. Oh, wow, I am like a really useful entity to this family. But right. if you're working for a family that doesn't give two shits about you, well, right. then you're not going to have a respect for the profession either, because you're like, why am I doing this?
Right.
And that's what's hard. And I think especially, you know, since Martha, you and we still push, like, no, this is a profession. This is right. something that is important. This is, you are helping shape these young minds. You're aiding these families. You are making an impact. And right. hopefully that stigma is starting to kind of wither away, because we're like, yes, we were treated like hot garbage, but that doesn't mean you need to be.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that there needs to be more advocacy in other professions for the profession of nannying as well. Like, the more I think mm-hmm. about it, like, because I want to go on for my doctorate very, very much. I'm applying again this autumn to several places. Like, please let me study with you. I know where I want to go with my thesis, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should focus on, you know, nannies and nanny like backgrounds and trauma and the need to care for children and protect them, and how, you know, that interferes even with our own selves in our own profession, advocating for ourselves, because we're so good at advocating for the children that we care for and right. advocating for other nannies, but so bad at advocating for ourselves. And I feel like if like the psychological community and the APA were to say, hey, actually, there's a whole category of professionals who are systematically abused, and shine a light on that, then maybe that would help. You know, if teachers would advocate for nannies, and like right. business people in general would advocate for nannies, instead of, you know, just focusing on our inability to do it ourselves, because for the most part, like we're, you know, and I'm not saying that all nannies are traumatized. I'm not saying that all nannies have been abused in their lives. It's just a large demographic. It's a large portion, I think, of nannies as a whole.
I think a large misconception too, and I don't know, Martha, maybe touch on this if you can, but with me, I didn't realize that like normal families had nannies.
Mm-hmm.
I really honestly, like when I first got into this profession, I was like, only movie stars have nannies, or only like athletes or really successful businessmen. And it's like, no, these are families where both parents are working. both parents, like, you know what I mean? Like, it still has like a family dynamic where you're walking into someone's home and you're helping with their children and their people too. Everyone is a human. And right. I think that was like the biggest thing for me was putting that misconception of nannies only work for celebrities out of my head, because I was kind of like, well, is this what it is? Like, I don't understand. So did you have any like kind of culture shock with that, I guess?
Yeah, I think I had less of that because I had, they don't actually call themselves my nannies because they consider themselves more babysitters, but I had two women who, for all intents and purposes to me as the child, felt like my nannies. They were consistently there. You know, there was this like seamlessness between them and my mom, of like, cause they worked with my mom too.
Oh, so you had like essentially nannies growing up.
Yes.
Okay.
And they've been my former nannies, like my nannies were on the podcast, I think for my 50th or my 100th episode. I can't remember which one.
Oh, damn. I'm going to have to listen to that. That's amazing. Yeah. I didn't realize you had your own nannies too when you grew up. See, I was a childcare kid. So my mom was a childcare director for like most of my formative years. And I never realized that nannies worked for like just regular families. I had no clue. Right.
Yeah. 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 My mom for a while was a single parent. And so I was also a childcare kid and had some nannies she worked at the University of Tennessee on the residence halls. And so they were RAs that she knew and trusted.
Oh, and very cool.
Was like, would y'all want to help? And they said yes.
Wow, that's great. That's really cool. That's a cool backstory to that. I like it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Now, so you're in Chicago. You said, no, I don't want to be famous, Second City. Screw you. And
it was a little bit more like, I would like a steady paycheck that actually happens, like, you know, weekly or biweekly.
So with your nanny families, what's like your span of time per family that you've been with?
Yeah, I mostly work with families for 3 to 4 years at a time. I certainly have like two of my original kiddos from that, like those patchwork days. I then was more full-time with them. And then, and I'm still like, I go to their plays. I like visit with them. Now I puppy sit for them. You know, like they're never not going to be my kiddos.
Yeah.
But usually, yeah, 3 to 4 years is my average per family.
That's solid.
Yeah.
That's really solid. Now, how long have you been with your current family?
For less than a year.
Oh, so you got it right in the pandemic. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I did. I was in a nanny share before this family. And I think that nanny shares are lovely. I think that they can help families who could otherwise not afford a nanny, the ability to have a nanny, and they're lovely. And I really enjoyed working in
They're one. Certainly more popular now, especially with the pandemic, about how these like pods have formed. And
yes,
families are able to work it out and make it like a fluid kind of thing. They are beautiful.
Yes. But they are also hard. Nanny shares are hard. Mm-hmm. And they were harder during pandemic. So because everyone's like each family's different boundaries around COVID restrictions and those clashed. And it just was really, really hard. And everyone was doing their best. And it still was really hard. And so I found a new family.
Yeah.
Of one. I was like, I would like one set of rules to follow, one set of
Yeah, that's that is tough. I mean, I just know, like, thank goodness my family, my nanny family and I have very similar viewpoints on everything that's going on. And I feel like that is so necessary, especially, you know, if you have kids going to school or you have other extracurricular activities and travel and all of these different moving right. parts that honestly, before the pandemic, you never gave a second thought right. to.
And it was not okay to even like talk about, like, yes. it's not really okay for a nanny family to ask you, like, what do you do on your time off? But yeah. during pandemic, it kind of is important for them to have a general sense.
That kind of had to be erased.
Yeah.
And I feel like for me, especially, I don't know, I've been with my nanny family for almost 8 years now. And so for me, it wasn't as jarring, I guess, when they were asking, hey, are you going to go and see your sister, or are you going to go out to eat, or are you doing this? Because I was kind of like, well, if I can't go to work, then right. we're going to have a problem. And so it was like, if I can prevent any stress, I'm going to prevent that by just not doing something that's going to make me like stay up at night and be like, oh my God, was I exposed? Did I expose this person? It wasn't worth it to me, I guess.
Right.
And I know a lot of nannies have other different viewpoints and I respect that, but that was just kind of my whole thing where I was like, if I don't have to cause myself extra stress during this insanely stressful time, I'm not going to. And I don't know. So that was really, I don't know. I commend you for doing the nanny share, because that is difficult. I know a couple of friends that have done that, and it can either go really, really great or not so great. And there's no middle ground, I feel like, with those.
Yeah. And for me, I will say it went really, really great for a long time.
Yeah.
And when I was applying to agencies to find a new job, they were all like, you did a nanny share for 2.5 years. That's amazing.
Wow. You did it for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, as kids hit different milestones at different points, it's just, nanny shares are hard. You have to have a lot of really, really great communication. So, I would recommend nanny shares to nannies, but like really write that contract well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As a nanny agent, I do have a nanny that like loves nanny shares, and she's like, you know, because it is a lot more money. And it saves the family's money. And so I have written contracts with them. It's just, it gets tricky when one family doesn't need help, or like something happens and they like have to cancel for a day, and like who makes up that extra cash, because the nanny expects to make that specific amount per hour regardless. So like it mostly regards like pay and how that happens and who makes up the difference in specific situations. But yeah, as long as you know how to like work around all of that, then you're golden. It's just that, like, I don't know, I like to think of every like worst case scenario when I'm making a contract, just in case.
Like, I feel like you have to, though.
Yeah, you do. And I explained it to my nanny families like this, of like, if you were at a daycare and
you'd still have to pay for that day.
I was like, so, you know, if it's during nanny share hours, you have to pay like it's the nanny share.
Right.
And I was like, if it's you know, you book me for like a Friday night date night, then that's just the one family and we'll work it out. And that was written into our contract. But if it was during our working hours and you didn't bring your kid over, then you still
have to. Yeah. Like you said, you know, if there's extra time that one family needs that the other one doesn't, then your rate is your rate. Like, like you just have to pay that rate. Like,
but sorry. I will also say this. That I'm now working for one family and making more money than I did in the nanny share. So like they are really great, but I also started learning my worth too. And so that's encouragement for nannies out there that,
absolutely.
You can make that.
That's the thing. It's like when you start out, you don't know what to ask for. Yep. You don't know what you're right. You don't know any of that stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping, you know, between our two podcasts that the information is getting out there somehow. Like, mm-hmm. you are worth this. Like, you're allowed to ask for these things. And it's just a shame because, you know, I don't want other nannies to go through our growing pains of like figuring this stuff out. And mm-hmm. I love, you know, I think the stories are hilarious for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, yeah, it's really funny, but I couldn't make my rent or I couldn't.
Right. Like, yeah.
But I don't know. I just think that's really cool that you're just like, yeah, I did nanny share for 2.5 years and now I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid.
Yeah. For like less work. I mean, technically more children, but less like of the work that I don't enjoy as much, you know, like the work that goes into nannying. That's like coordinating with the family and like all of that, that is not my favorite part of the job. I do it and it's fine. But I have less of that type of work and more of the, like, I get to spend time with these really cool kids. And my nanny share kids were like, I love them very, very much. I'm not trying to say that these kids are cooler than those kids. But yeah, I get to like just focus on like caring for kids now.
Now, I have to ask you, and this is something that I've always wondered, and Tessa, you have to weigh in on this too. What is your least favorite household chore as a nanny?
Ugh.
I can name mine.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think through them all.
Household? Like, I mean, I don't,
me is changing the kids' bedding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, only, especially when there are like bunk beds.
Bunk beds are rough. Bunk beds. So I had one that was a loft bed.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about smacking your head off of a ceiling and like seeing stars. I think it happened to me a half a dozen times. Just trying to put that goddamn fitted sheet on. Oh my God. But I don't know. And crib sheets, the old, the old school crib sheets that still had the bumpers that were tied around. Because bumpers aren't really used anymore. Thank God. When they were, it was like a half hour process to try to change a crib sheet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if the kids make, of course.
Right. I started making when I had to change sheets and it was bunk beds, I made my nanny kids do it. That was part of our day, is I would like verbally coach them through putting on a fitted sheet.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Because I was like, you can fit up there. I'm not going up there.
Right.
I think like for me, like sweeping up wet food off of the ground is like one of my least favorite parts of the job.
What about like American cheese where it like leaves a line when you
like cleaning up under
especially
the table.
It's rice.
Yes.
Rice is the worst rice to clean up, especially when it's like when it's fresh. I always just let it sit and let it get crusty and then I'm like,
That's what I've started doing as well.
But yeah, I think I'd have to agree with Martha on that because it's the last thing that I save because I dread it. Like it's just so horrible. And like I have this like, you always have that one kid that's just like, I'm gonna dump everything on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Here you go. Oh, yeah. And but like, so funny story for the loft bed though. So I was I've had to change top bunk sheets before. It's always been a mess. I've hated it. Not a fan, but I'll do it. I had the top bunk in my dorm my freshman year of college as well. And because I love being like up high. I love sleeping up, even though I have vertigo. That makes no sense, but I love being up.
Same.
I
like being up high too.
I was changing my sheets and I was trying to make my bed in my dorm, standing on my desk chair, and I like climbed up and I like moved wrong and I slipped and I like came the tailbone of my butt hit the corner of the chair. Ooh. And I like broke my coccyx.
Oh.
And then I refused to use a donut. And let me say, a lot of years later, I'm paying for not using that butt donut in class.
Oh my because God.
Because I'm not carrying that around to class. Like, that's embarrassing, right? Carrying around a butt donut to your, like, you know, every lesson. But yeah, it was like the most random incident. But yeah, it didn't keep me from sleeping up top and like making beds up there. Just, I guess I'm more careful and cat-like about it now. I don't know.
I had my dorm bed was lofted above my desk.
Nice.
And so similar situation. And I, like orientation week, freshman year of college, I did like a, they had like a bouncy house type thing, or it was like the bouncy obstacle course.
Oh yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I did that, twisted my ankle, and then like, it's impossible to climb up into a bunk bed with the twisted ankle. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Luckily, I had a strong boyfriend at the time who like, literally lifted
boosted
me up.
You up there. Yeah.
I was like, thank you, because otherwise I don't know what I would have done. And he lived nearby. Like, he lived in the dorm next door. So I was just like texting him, like, come get me down.
Man, see, I guess it paid for me to go to community college because I didn't deal with all your broken tailbones and all.
It's and dangerous. Living in dorms is dangerous.
Oh my goodness.
It truly, truly is.
That's all right. I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond and I had to climb ladders all the time. That was when they had that. So that was my first job.
I worked at a video rental store and it was like the greatest job I've ever
had.
Be
kind, rewind.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, we did have tapes. Yeah. Like most of it was DVDs, but like, yeah, we had.
It makes me so sad. Like, I've been seeing like all these kids with, I don't know, I feel so freaking old, but I see these kids with all these shirts that are like at Target and Hot Topic. And I mean, you remember Hot Topic. It was like the scary store no one ever went into, you know, all this stuff. And these kids are coming out with like Blockbuster t-shirts and like, look how vintage this is. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking old.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. I joke with my nanny kids because whenever I started with them, Yo Gabba Gabba was like the shit. Uh-huh. And they are, oh my God, they're teenagers now. And so I just joke with them. I was like, just you wait. I was like, in a couple years, Hot Topic is going to have a boomerang of Yo Gabba Gabba stuff, because that's what happened with us with the Disney princesses and like Nickelodeon Nicktoons and all of that shit boomerang back. And they were like, oh my God, Miss Marie, no way. They're never going to come back. And I was like, just you wait.
You
wait. And DJ Lance Rock and I are friends on Instagram. So come on, man. Yeah. That's what kind of status I have, Martha. I'm friends with DJ Lance.
Damn. I'm going to start following him now.
You should. He is the shit.
I didn't even register. But yes, I legit like loved Yo Gabba Gabba. Whenever that was chosen as like the thing that the kids wanted to watch, I was like, yes.
I mean, I went to flea markets and bought my current nanny children all the DVDs. Because I was like, you need to understand the greatness of this show.
Yes. There's a party in my tummy. Yummy, yummy.
So yummy. So yummy, yummy.
My brain just decides to like torture me sometimes and put songs in my head that I don't want there and like haven't listened to in forever. But like randomly, occasionally, I'll get like the Elijah Wood guest appearance from Yoga, where it's like, raise your knee, raise your other knee. Like randomly in my head sometimes. And I don't know how to feel about it because I love Elijah Wood and I love Yo Gabba Gabba, but it's repetitive and annoying.
So right. It's like, real creepy too.
But I love that.
I don't know. I listened to the Weird Al circus song the other day. It came on my Spotify and I was like driving into work. I was like, shit, let's start our day with this.
So yes.
Like, Spotify like knows me. I feel like they read my mind.
Yeah.
Like they come up with stuff where I'm like, I haven't heard this song since I was 21 and this is amazing.
Their algorithms work real well.
They really do. They really
except that like sometimes it's not my choices. Like my my current nanny kids have the exact same taste in music as one of my ex-boyfriends. It's like Vampire Weekend and Avett brothers. I love the Avett brothers. That's not, these are not digs at these, but it's just so fascinating because now that is my Spotify identity.
My first nanny kids listen to My Chemical Romance and I'm like, that's my shit. Like that was my college years, was My Chemical Romance. And I said, I was like, when they go on tour, whenever that may be, I am switching from going to Yo Gabba Gabba Live to we're seeing MCR. And I'm that cool. Like, yes. But but I totally understand what you mean. Like I don't know. I nanny two girls, so T Swift is pretty strong right now. But they'll listen to like certain songs. I got them really into Queen this summer.
Nice.
Like super into Queen.
And what a hero you are. Like, that's good.
Well, I sang, I forget what it was, but like we were driving somewhere. I think it was like to a park and Bohemian Rhapsody just like came on. And I think I forgot they were in the car and I just sang my heart out and they like lost their minds. They're like, Miss Marie, you know all the words to this song. I was like, because it's an opera. That's why. You need to respect Queen. And so now they like request it and it's hilarious.
I love it.
But I'll take it though, because there's some like real shit music out there right now.
There is.
It's not very good.
I mean, and honestly, I don't listen to that much music on my own. I am a podcast girl through and through. I've got every day a podcast that comes out that I listen to.
There you go. Nice. That's something to look forward to. Yeah.
That's next level shit. I'm not there yet.
No, I mean, I listen to.
Well, I'll send you my list.
If you want to. I'm intrigued by this.
Do you listen to any true crime?
Almost exclusively. No, not exclusively, but yeah, it's almost all true crime.
That's all nice. Tessa loves. Tessa loves her true crime.
Well, I love that. And I also like, I started listening to, I think it's called like a More Perfect Union, where they like go through our Supreme Court and everything that like our Constitution says, like, you know, protects us from. Yeah. It's really, really good, but it's also really horrible because like I'm realizing that we have a lot fewer rights than I ever believed that we did. And I hate it. It's really terrifying. I don't recommend it if you want to not be terrified and be an American citizen. So it's great.
I agree. I balance out my true crime with news, which the news is way scarier to me than the true crime. I'm just fascinated because I do think that there are a lot of nannies that are into true crime. And I have yet to find like a Facebook group or like the community to represent that.
Then we should start one.
I know. That's what I'm thinking, is that this Flintstones Jetsons crossover is actually the start of the nanny true crime podcast loving group.
Do you want me to drop a bomb on you as to why I think that is?
Please.
So people who enjoy like true crime and horror films and things like that typically are people who are also traumatized on some level. And when you listen to true crime or you watch a horror film, it takes that trauma or that fear and puts it into a category where you can control it and you like, you know, everything typically already, or like these are events that have already happened and you can process it in a way that is safe for your brain to process it. So like you're not in any danger. And you're able to like work through your own like feelings of terror and fear and trauma through those devices. So
I completely agree.
Which further proves my theory that a lot of nannies are the product of trauma and traumatic childhoods.
Agreed. And I think that a lot of nannies are naturally seeking cycle breaking.
Yes.
In their occupation.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's super important work. And I know for me, it's really important to help the parents cycle break as well.
Yes.
and so, yeah, that is, and I'm back in school now to become a family counselor. Yay. So like, yeah, Tessa, tell me, do you have, I'm hearing that you have like a background in psychology. Is that,
yeah, true. I just finished my master's in May.
Congrats.
thank you. I still am being offered shit pay.
Right. Yep.
So I'm like, I used to make 30 grand more a year as a nanny. Why are you offering me shit? I have a master's. Yes. So yeah, it's really frustrating, but, I'm going back for my counseling certification now with the hopes that I won't have to finish my counseling certification and then I'll be able to just go into my doctorate. But I need a backup because, you know, if I don't get to achieve my goal of, you know, becoming a doctor, I need to live. And obviously with just a master's in psychology, you can't do fuck all. So, so like going for family therapy is wonderful. I commend you for that because I mean, it is a logical next step if you don't want to be a nanny the rest of your life. And you don't want to go into teaching, for example. Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a great path too. And I did teach. High school, and then I was like,
high school too.
Yeah, and then I switched to nannying, and then now I'm into family counseling. And I also recently opened a business with a friend for Katie Anderson, and I both got certified in positive discipline parent education, so mm-hmm. we now can educate parents on positive discipline. Which is wonderful because that I think is that cycle breaking, that we were talking about. And so we started, this company called Compassionate Childcare, where we are helping, like we have classes on there and then also coaching or consultation, to help parents and families and nannies. Like nannies are welcome to also consult with us and things like that. But, to really try to help more and more and more families learn how to cycle break. Like you, I know that no one wants to yell, but it's like if that was
all you knew,
all you know, then it's overwhelming and exhausting to learn these new methods while you're like to build the plane in the air is impossible without help, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree there.
That's really cool that you were able to start that though.
Yeah,
you don't have enough going on.
I know, right? I was like, okay, I'm doing my internship. Oh, I'm working full time. Oh. I'm gonna start a business too.
Oh my god!
Right? Yeah, I feel like we need to like connect after, like, aside from this, and like brainstorm and collaborate on several other things because I just like I'm trying to figure out like how to start doing that. Like, what can I do? What am I like capable? What do I have the authority to do right now?
Right. Yes.
Because I feel like I do have all of this really wonderful knowledge. I feel like I can be helpful, but I also have like zero self-confidence. And I feel like, you know, what you're doing is the kind of thing that I would like to also do. But like, you know, do I have the right to do it? I don't know.
You do. You absolutely do have the right, and there is a need for it. Mm-hmm. So yes, let's connect. I would love that. Because I really do. I know without a shadow of a doubt that nannies are changing the world, and it's a lot of very invisible labor that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason that I continue to do the podcast amongst the million things that I am doing is to continue to make that invisible labor visible.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's great. I think that you're important. Able to do that. I mean, that really is like, that's great because, you know, you recognize what needs to be a priority.
Yeah.
And that's really important. And, you know, that's really cool. So how long do you have left to get your master's?
I will be done August of next year.
Woo! It'll come before you know it, man.
I know. It will. And I am loving, you know, like when you're, I don't know if this is how you felt, Tessa, but like when I am in classes, it's very much like, this is absolutely where I should be. Mm-hmm. Like it just really it feels great.
Yeah, you guys are such nerds.
Hey, I own it. I own it. I love it.
Giant nerd.
Give me school the rest of my life. I will be instantly happy.
I know you could be a professional student.
I am technically.
Yeah.
Like that's... Chaucer was writing about me.
There you go. There you go. No, that's so funny though. So you have the podcast that's still How many episodes have you done?
176.
Damn, girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You like churn them out too. You get them out like every week. How do you do that?
I don't know. And sometimes I have to take breaks, like Labor Day weekend. I was just like, I'm not putting one out. But I do churn them out. I think it's because I really love talking with folks.
Yeah.
Like and then once I've recorded it, I have to get it out, you know, like, so I kind of like leap and then make myself do something about the fall.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. Yeah. It was just funny because for a really big stretch of time, I was like, damn, she got more coming out now. Good Lord. No, that's awesome though, because I know we've shared quite a few guests. Yes. Like you had Sarah on, the modern mm-hmm. nanny. She's funny.
She is hilarious, and she is doing really important work too.
Her reels are something to behold.
Yes.
Like she's
so good at it.
She's so good at it. That's the thing. It's like, I think about trying to do them and I'm like, I can't do that.
I can't do them better.
Yeah. Like she can make it happen. And then the mindful nanny, I know she's been on with you.
Alexa Ray.
Yeah. She's a doll. She's very sweet. Darling. But yeah, like we've shared quite a few, and it's just really funny because people think like, you know, oh, two nanny podcasts, are they going to get along? And I'm like, bitch, I'm like, absolutely. Of course we're going to get along. I'm like, we're Mary Poppins and Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, let's go. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah. And I love that there are multiple nanny podcasts out there. And I love that the work that y'all are doing, like, it is, listening to your podcast is like sitting with friends, which is the ideal of podcasts.
Man, you know, that's a high compliment.
But it's true. It's really true. Of like, I love listening to y'all because nannying is so isolating. And to listen to your podcast, especially because you all made the call to have it not for kids at all. Mm-hmm. And that makes it more fucking exciting, like, to listen to. Well, you know,
that was our whole thing, was that, I mean, we really wanted it to be relatable, and we wanted it to be approachable. And we were like, when we're talking on the side with our nanny buds at the park, it's like, we have to whisper. We have to, you know, we have to be like,
because we're dropping F-bombs every 2 seconds. Yeah.
And so, you know, we're joking about all this other stuff. And like, it's so nice too, because like, once you find nanny friends, like, you cling to them because, like you said, it's so isolating, especially when I was an infant nanny. I was like, oh my God, I need to go somewhere. Like, I need to be around people. Like, I can't, like, to be an infant nanny during a pandemic, I applaud all of you because I don't know how you're doing it. Like,
honestly, I mean, honestly, I listen to podcasts when I'm taking care of babies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot. Like, either in my earbuds if they're not appropriate for children. But I also listen to like Wow in the World and Story Pirates, like, for my own enjoyment and for vocabulary for the infant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, like, listening to, like, even, you know, the one that I had mentioned before, the NPR one, A More Perfect Union, any kind of like news thing, like, those are, I mean, that's good vocabulary for the children. Yeah. That's, you know, good exposure. It's learning experience. You know, we can listen to certain things, definitely. And I think like, there are some families who are like, oh, well, if they're swearing, but they're using it in a way that doesn't like abuse anyone, they're not being bullies, then okay, fine. Like, as long as they learn how to use it properly.
That's so the like rule with swears. If you can use it in the proper context, I don't give a shit what you say.
Same.
Like, I don't care.
I'm the same. I have to play by the rules of the family, but I don't. And I tell the kids that, like, if they swear in front of me, I say, you know, I actually really don't mind if you swear in front of me, but you might get in trouble at school or with your parents for using that same word. And so I like, and I talk to them about code switching of like, you have different ways of speaking in front of different people. So like, although you and I can talk in this way, you might not be able to use this same vocabulary.
But that's again, a life skill that you're teaching them. I mean, like, that's huge. Cause not a lot of people are like, hey, don't go into an interview and just start blaring, ah, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Unless you're going to work at like a gym. Yeah. But like, no, that was one of my like favorite things of working abroad is that like, cause like over there, like they start swearing as soon as they can say any words.
Right.
And so whenever they start swearing, like in English, it was all about like, okay, it's not what the shit, it's what the fuck.
Thank you. Yes, use it right.
Use it properly. An English, a native English speaker wouldn't say mother shitting ass. They would just say motherfucker. Right. You know, like it just, you know, use it properly. Let's hone these skills. Yes. So it, whereas like here, it's like, oh, I don't know. I can't say, you know, this is dumb. If it's dumb, it's dumb. But like,
yeah.
So it really, yeah, it depends on like what the family wants, but like Marie was saying, you know, and I think parents can also identify with this. If you're like a stay-at-home parent, and you just want that outlet of like being yourself with another adult. And I feel like that's one of the greatest things about, cause we don't have colleagues,
right?
You know, when you're caring for children at home, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or you're a nanny, like you need that connection.
Camaraderie.
And yeah, exactly. And I think like, I love the other nanny podcasts that are out there, especially Chronicles of Nannia. Like you get the information that you offer, the lightness of it. It's all extremely helpful. We just were like, we got to swear too. Cause like, yeah. I don't want to do it. I'll have to edit all that out.
even our logo, like I have our t-shirt, I'll wear it like to work. And I mean, they all laugh. They're like, oh, there's Teresa drinking her apple juice. Cause
it's just,
you know, whatever. Like, I don't care. I rock that t-shirt anywhere I go. I was like, yeah, that's my face on there, guys. There it is.
It's a really special cup I'm drinking out of.
It's her favorite cup.
It's my favorite.
It's her favorite. Like, you guys like your blue cup for breakfast and your purple cup for lunch. Well, that's Miss Teresa's favorite cup.
It would have been way more confusing if it were one of those like boots that you occasionally get, you know, at like Oktoberfest.
Yes. Yes.
It took me a second to find out if it had the foam on it or not. Cause I was like, did I really sell this as apple juice?
Well, I mean, apple juice foams when you pour it.
It does. Sometimes.
It does.
And if it's apple cider,
yeah,
it'll foam.
Oh,
and
yes. Apple cider, yeah, definitely. Well, tis the season.
And root beer also. You can say it's root beer.
I couldn't even pull off. I might be a cream soda. I think it's a little too light to be a root beer. I think it would be a cream soda.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's totally sold. Like, Hallow Thanksmas is my favorite season. So,
I've never heard it put that way before, but I love that.
This is my favorite time of year. From now until New Year's Eve, I am like, this is the happiest I'll be.
Yes.
I love it. Definitely. I already have my Halloween shit up. Like, I don't care. Like, let's go.
I saw one of those, like, which would you get rid of memes, and it was like the four seasons, and I was like, summer, gone. Easy. Yes. That's like the easiest question I've ever had in my entire life.
I just want
sweating
fall,
for
though.
No reason. Bye.
Yeah.
Like I just
take off more clothes.
Well, I know you at can't. The forecast and it's supposed to be freaking 86 in Pittsburgh this week. I'm like, what's happening right now?
Same in Chicago. I'm so mad. I thought we were done. And I know there's always another little bump, and I get mad about it every year, and I will until I die.
Mm-hmm.
At least you know what? At least we've accepted it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So, there you go.
But I'm also going to pretend like it's a new thing every year.
Well, yeah. Well, then
I'm going to be like, this year.
Like when we get one more snow after having 2 weeks of like decent weather in the spring, like we're going to get that one more snow.
And you just have to know.
It's going to happen.
There it is.
It might be a light dusting. It might be a deluge. We don't know. But like,
ooh, that's a word you don't hear enough.
No,
deluge. I really enjoy it. I did not use it properly. It is not meant to be used for snow. I apologize.
Marie and I were both like, yes.
Yeah, you like totally crapped over our compliment.
Yeah. Like,
totally. I do not do compliments.
Take the compliment.
Oh, God, it's
going to be my sound bite. Like, anytime somebody gives me a compliment from now on, it's just going to be Martha in my head, like, take the compliment.
That's my gift to you.
I love
Thank you.
I love it. Martha, I am so glad we were able to do our Jetsons crossover. And don't worry, we're going to be on her podcast too.
Yes.
We're coming to Nania.
Yes. Come
I'm
on.
Excited. Oh, we got to go through the wardrobe.
I read this book. I know we're winding down. I read this book that a former nanny kid actually recommended and let me borrow her signed copy. So you know that she loves me.
Yes.
And the whole like premise of this book, it's called The Disappearance. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, the premise of this book is that it's our world, and it's told from the point of view of the brother of a kid who basically goes to Narnia. Like, one day he disappears, and then like a week later he shows back up in their attic. And they're like, where were you? And he was like, you won't believe me if I tell you. And like the police are involved, and it's like, if that actually happened, like, how would you move through the world? Because nobody's going to believe you. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good book. And I just don't, I think it might be the Disappearance of Aiden S as told by his brother. I think that's the name of
it. There you go. I don't know. But that's what Google's for.
That's right. True. Google it. If you're listening and you're like, that sounds cool.
The Mysterious Disappearance of Aiden S. as told by his brother.
Yes. It's a really good YA novel. And I just think it's such a cool, because if that really did happen and the police are involved, because he's like, I couldn't say that I went on a bus or a train because there's cameras everywhere now.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, and I couldn't say I went and lived in the woods because I don't know how to actually live in the woods. So when they're like, what did you eat? I wouldn't be able to answer that question.
Right.
It's like, I don't know what to tell you. I went to this magical land, and that's what happened.
I feel like I went to Narnia, goodness. Guys. F off.
I need to read this book. Young adult fiction is probably, like, young adult fiction and dystopian young adult fiction are, like that's my jam there. And I need to read this book, and I need to read it now. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. We started with a nerd out, and we're ending with a nerd out.
It's a, love it's it. A book perfect ended circle.
It. Book ended it. Pun intended. Oh my god, man. Martha, I am so pumped we were able to do this.
Me too.
This was fun. This was super fun. I messaged you with like minuscule hopes that you would be game for this. I was like, oh, she's gonna tell me to F off. She's gonna be like,
no way, Jose. And like, please, if you're listening and you're like, I can't possibly, please always message me.
Yes.
Like, always, I want to interact with other nannies who are passionate in the field. And I'm so grateful you did. It was actually literally on my monthly to-do.
That's so funny.
To reach out to y'all, because I was like, I love what they're doing. I want to do a crossover. It just, you know, with the million things that I'm doing, I didn't get to it. But I'm so glad you
That's why. That's why we're in sync. We're in sync. Yes. You are the JC Chazay to my Justin Timberlake.
Oh,
thank you.
There it is. But
Digital Get Down was in my head nonstop 2 days ago.
Yes.
So it was fate.
It's beautiful. But no, this was awesome, because I just remember talking to Tessa about this, and she was like, yeah, if we can do it, cool. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna see if we can make it happen. But no, Chronicles of Narnia is a great podcast that you can actually listen to with your nanny kids around. Mm-hmm. she is much more censored than we are. but you know what? If you want a nice little podcast to enjoy with a cup of tea and maybe a biscotti.
That's linear in thought as well. It is
very linear in thought. Yeah. Ours, as you can tell, and here's the funny thing. I normally write outlines for our podcast, and I was like, screw it. I was like, Martha's a professional. Yeah. She knows what to do. Yeah, that's why this podcast is literally like, Chris Farley, Chronicles of Narnia, Oh, wait, we're talking about this now. Oh, I smacked my head off the ceiling changing a trundle bed.
You did an excellent recap of our episode. Thank you. I'm very impressed.
Yep. But yeah, so check her out. Martha, do you want to give your handles for your social media?
Yeah, it's I think it's Chronicles of Narnia across the board on mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook. I'm not very active on Twitter, so you can follow me there, but it's not very active.
Your Instagram is pretty active.
Yes, I'm pretty active on Instagram. I've also now dipped into TikTok, which is Chronicles of Narnia there. And you can find the podcast on any place that you find podcasts, Chronicles of Narnia. And Narnia is spelled N-A-N-N-Y-A.
Yeah. Get it right, friends. Nice. Get it
right. Because sometimes people don't like, because I debated how to spell it too. Should it be more like Narnia?
Yeah. That's why we're she.
Nanny's got to be in there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think it helps the algorithm. Like, we decided the same thing when we came up with the Shenanigans name.
Yeah. Which I love your pun too.
Well, Tessa came up with it after how many glasses of wine?
No, I wasn't drinking because I was driving.
Oh, okay.
I drank wine and celebrated after.
Okay, because you texted me and you were like, hey, I'm having a drink and this is what our podcast name is.
Yeah, yeah, I drank a glass of wine to celebrate. Well, I started with one and I texted you and in celebration, but I was driving. I was on Allegheny River Boulevard.
Nice.
And I was like, Shenanigans with Nanny in the middle.
Those are the best. See, I get my ideas when I'm in the shower. I have really mm-hmm. good shower ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get those.
I'm a right before I fall asleep person.
Okay.
Which it's like, hopefully it stays in there till the morning, you know?
Mine always fall out.
Yeah. It's like 50-50. So there's a lot of lost ideas out there.
Eh, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It is what
they'll
it
come
is.
Back. They'll yeah, come back if they're meant to be.
They'll boomerang. Exactly. They'll boomerang back. All right. No, this was great. And again, download Chronicles of Narnia. Martha's good people. She's good people.
Great. Thank you.
She was on the same stage as Chris Farley. So, I mean, come on. But come on. Like, I may have been in the same studio that Mr. Rogers, like, filmed his TV show. But,
That's awesome.
You were on the same stage as Chris Farley.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tough
They're both piece. Awesome.
They're both awesome. But yes. And then, of course, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are not on TikTok yet. I don't have the mental capacity to take that on yet.
I feel like I eventually will because I have a TikTok account that is completely blank. I just watch a ton of TikTok.
Oh, I watch TikTok.
I love TikTok, I think, enough to do it because there's enough dopamine in there
you
for me to be like,
yeah, do a Facebook let's post. Do this. You'll do a TikTok video. You don't make any sense, Tessa.
Oh, I don't make any sense to myself if that makes you feel any better.
All right, fair enough. But you can also, if you ever feel so obliged to pay us for doing Shenanigans, we appreciate any donations to our Patreon account. And also, we have a Redbubble store where you can get all your official Shenanigans merch.
Yes. Go do it.
Get your merch.
Get your merch.
That's right.
And I will say, as a fellow podcaster, it is expensive to podcast. And it's a free resource for you all. So, like, I know people's situations are different, but if you enjoy this podcast, which you're listening, I assume that you do, a little bit of donation goes a long way in helping.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference to the podcaster.
We even have Martha like trying to keep us going.
That's
awesome. Yes. Because it's important work that you're doing.
It is for you too, Martha. My goodness. Yep.
And so we'll have links to all of Martha's stuff as well. Absolutely. Like her, you know, all of her social media as well as her Patreon because she just started one finally.
Just started one.
Yeah.
After how many years in the biz. You know, if you want to give to her, if you want to give to us, if you want to give to both, that would be amazing. And we appreciate you. We all do this for your benefit. So thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Go shoot over to Chronicles of Narnia and listen to her amazing backlog because it's just great. So thank you so much and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.